Next presenter is Kashika Sahai from UNC Chapel Hill, whose research focuses on reproductive health and mental well-being of women.
Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Kashika Sahai, and I'm a third-year PhD student at the Gilling School of Global Public Health at UNC Chapel Hill. I'm fortunate to be part of a research team with Dr. Sandy Martin and Rebecca Macy, and today I'm going to talk with you about a community-engaged project that we've been working on for several years with domestic violence and sexual assault agencies in North Carolina. Are anyone in the room community-based domestic violence advocates? Thank you for all the work that you do every day. So this project's guiding framework is really based on the idea of engaged scholarship. We really wanted to work in a multi-stakeholder collaboration. The project is funded by the Governor's Crime Commission in North Carolina, and we're hoping to build a partnership that is useful and helpful to community organizations, as well as survivors, as well as meets the needs for standardized tools for evaluation. So we really try to work with our partners to make sure that any products that we come up with are feasible and useful for general use within the practice. So today I'm briefly going to talk about the need for tools for needs assessment, why we developed this North Carolina's Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Toolkit, and some of the challenges and strategies that we came up with as we moved from using a paper and pencil-based toolkit and data entry to a more computer-based and electronic system. And our experiences with community organizations as they transitioned from paper pencil to electronic systems. So our project is really based on this idea that domestic assault, domestic violence and sexual assault agencies really want to be useful and build needs and service plans for survivors coming into the agencies in an efficient way. But they don't always have standardized tools for evaluation and for needs assessment that can be undertaken in a busy clinic setting. And they don't have as much expertise in evaluation as they may want to have. So we came in to kind of think through how could we build standardized assessments for service plans, needs assessment, and evaluation of services. So over the course of several years, Sandy and Rebecca have been working to develop this North Carolina Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Program Toolkit. And it's a series of interviews that I'll talk about more in a minute that basically go through comprehensively a list of different needs that survivors may have and their goals for services. And then at time two, we assess their satisfaction with services and progress to update their service plans. So this toolkit, we envision having multiple uses for multiple audiences. And as I mentioned, we are hoping that the survivor can help clarify their goals, needs, and let the provider know a bit more about their history of violence so that the provider is more equipped to make referrals and come up with an appropriate service plan. Then for the executive director, we have a reporting system that allows for the director to pull multiple clients at once across a date range or multiple clients that can provide an aggregate view of different services that are provided and also provide an aggregate view of goals that survivors have so that if there are needs that need to be addressed, they can apply for funding. And then for funders and evaluators, we have ways to de-identify the data within the electronic system so that funders and evaluators can see in aggregate the types of services that are being provided by a given agency. So overall, we hope that the tool can be a standardized instrument that agencies throughout the state would be able to use. So So as I mentioned before, part of our community engaged partnership is really to make sure that the toolkit was acceptable to survivors, feasible for busy organizations, and useful for the variety of audiences. As I mentioned before, the toolkit is a series of four semi-structured interviews. They're designed for survivors in longer-term services. We've found through extensive research that shorter-term crisis is not the time to be doing a full needs assessment, as you can imagine. And so this is for survivors in longer-term services such as shelters, longer-term advocacy, or counseling support groups. The interviews are broken up into two parts, health and safety, and they can be administered at two time points, early within services and late within services. And we kind of leave it up to the agency how what late and early mean to them, what works best with their service plans and the way that they provide treatment. And we ask a variety of questions listed here relating to goals, history, and legal needs. We ask if they need court advocates, if they have acceptable insurance and emotional health, as well as substance abuse related issues and coping and social support. We included several validated research instruments within the context of the survey so that it would be comparable across different agencies and useful to agencies in that way. And in addition to the interviews, what constitutes part of the toolkit is also logistical support that includes training materials for gaining consent from survivors. As you can imagine, many of these questions are very sensitive. And so we go out and we train providers on the use of the toolkit, do mock interviews, administering interviews successfully to survivors. Many survivors say, you know, why are you asking me so many questions? Why is it so long? And so we kind of explain to them that this will take about 15 to 20 minutes to administer, and this will help in your service plan development and referral system. And then using that information for the agencies, we have a series of guidance for technical assistance and providing de-identified data to outside sources. Sorry, I don't know why that keeps flipping off. So from a provider's perspective, we piloted a paper pencil version of this toolkit about a couple years ago and found that the provider said that the needs assessment tool was useful because it allows for the collection of individual level data, which is helpful for planning a client's services. So we received a great deal of positive feedback about this about the instrument. One of the suggestions that we received was to please include this within a computerized system. And so the team went to work trying to put this paper pencil toolkit into an electronic data system. And at the time, North Carolina had a standardized data system. And so we wanted to work with our partners to figure out what are the overall challenges involved in instituting this paper pencil toolkit into an electronic system, and more broadly, how they responded to using computerized systems, because historically domestic violence agencies were not using as much computer technology as some other groups. So we surveyed our partners and asked them what were their challenges in adopting technology. And I'm just going to go through four of them briefly and then talk about some strategies. So the first challenge was that technology really alters workflow. Several providers said that when you're using a computer-based system and working with clients, it can sometimes damage the relationship because you feel like you're not sure whether to look at the computer screen or talk to the client, and it really alters workflow. So you really have to think about before implementing, how is my workflow going to be altered by this? How am I going to be able to do all the assessments that I need to do, be it lethality or shelter intake, but not damage that relationship? And so we really brainstormed to make sure that we can implement the toolkit within the workflow of an agency. And if that means entering, working with paper pencil first and then entering it, that could be a potential solution that several agencies respond well to. And then a second challenge was that data needs to be stored securely. If we're asking a lot of sensitive information, we need to make sure that we have backups in place, that there are security remote access methods. Sometimes court advocates go out to court and need to access records, but that needs to be done in a secure way. We're not security experts, but we really recognize the need for having infrastructure in place and referring people to IT or appropriate remote access servers so that things can be done in a secure manner. Then staff reported needing some training to work with the technology appropriately. The NC data system is not always as friendly as our smartphones or other tech that we're used to, lots of different tabs and reports, ways to click around. And so staff reported asking for multiple trainings and really needing to practice and have technical resources available for working with the survey. So we tried to address that later in the project. And then finally, the data entry processes can be confusing. So sometimes when you enter things into a computer, if you're typing NC instead of North Carolina, your computer might not recognize the difference between the two. And when you go to pull reports, it can be confusing. So thinking through how would an agency standardize their data entry protocols, be it whether one person takes responsibility for data entry or if you have a standard protocol. And again, this seems kind of basic, but we found that it was helpful to kind of write it down and make sure that people thought through that. So as we worked to integrate our module into the NC data system, we came up with several strategies and practices that we felt were helpful in integrating this technology more effectively. So basically, we thought, let's start with the basics. And we found we really had to zoom out even beyond the survivor-client dynamic and look even more broadly at how the questions would look within the database. We're not software developers. We got to be really close friends with our software developer because we had to make sure that skip patterns work properly, numbers were working together, and that it was able to be user-friendly from a data entry perspective. So this, again, seems really basic, but was actually a very time-consuming process. We worked with our developer to come up with ways to make sure that error messages and navigation systems were all efficient and able to be used by anyone. We made lots of screenshots and came up with a lot of technical assistance for our programs. And we developed cheat sheets for common tasks such as generating reports and creating data. And we're also working on some tutorials with web trainings and in-person trainings so that we have people in place. And we try to build, you know, work with the data entry expert at the agency and work with them to make sure that they have the capacity that they need for using the materials. And so in conclusion, we worked with agencies to really brainstorm how we could integrate this paper pencil version of the toolkit into an electronic system. And we found that the agencies had several challenges, be it through figuring out how workflow is altered using technology and coming up with ways to store data securely. And then we tried to come up with strategies to kind of parallel those challenges. So we worked through talking with agencies about their workflow, how this toolkit is going to fit into their daily routines. Also thinking about how they would interact with clients in light of explaining the surveys to the clients. And then having a list of questions and technical manuals available to the programs so that they can transition in a seamless way and talk and have resources available so that if we're not there in person, they have kind of paper and web-based information for them. So currently we are working on piloting this in 4 sites in North Carolina throughout the state in the electronic format. And so far our pilot sites have been receptive to including the information in the electronic way. They find it helpful to kind of get a whole bunch of resources and background information about survivors that they may not have necessarily all gotten in one sitting. They might have kind of figured it out as they were working with the client, but to have it all in one place has been helpful. And working with the computer system has been an interesting transition, and talking through some of the reporting requirements and pulling data from the reporting system. So I'd just like to close with a thank you to all the domestic violence survivors, agencies, and providers throughout the years who have been helpful in this work, our wonderful research team, and the Governor's Crime Commission for the funding, and we have no conflicts of interest to report. Thank you very much. Thank you.